It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmonson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. I appreciate it if you'd go over to Facebook and give us a like. And be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter that comes out. We'll be highlighting our new podcast, Sounding Off with Kim Monson, as well as our op-eds. And so a lot of great information there. We've got a great show planned for you today. We'll be talking in the second segment with Lindsay Miller. She is one of those heroes out there. She is the owner of the Perfect Fit Children's Footwear right here in Parker. And, of course, we'll be talking with Jason McBride today as well with Presidential Wealth Management. And then in the third and fourth segment, Nick Adams, he founded the Foundation for Liberty and American Greatness. Love the acronym or what he calls it, FLAG. So that's the Foundation for Liberty and American Greatness. So we'll be talking with him in the third and fourth segment. And I've thought a lot about what we're going to talk about. And there's amazing heroes out there. You probably saw down in Texas that a lady hair salon owner was thrown in jail for opening her salon doors after the COVID lockdown order. And, of course, right here in our community, we have a hero in Jen Hewlin with Water's Edge Winery, who is opening her business because she put it all on the line to open this business. And, of course, then we've had bureaucrats and politicians that have closed down our businesses. And in fact, she is, I don't know if you know this, Steve, but they actually put something on her door that said that they might shut her down. They're going to fine her. She might have jail time. And that is from the bureaucrats and politicians right here in our state. Steve, it's absolutely astonishing to me.
Well, I've seen two different versions of this in video form in terms of the different entities that were trying to cover it. And it's, she's one gutsy lady. And, oh, by the way, we're tag teaming here. This is a party of three. Our buddy Jason's on board, too.
Good morning, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. Thanks for joining us today for the show.
You betcha, Kim. I'm here. If you want to discuss something, just let me know. Otherwise, I will keep my mouth shut for the most part, even though, as you know, that's really difficult for me sometimes.
I wish Melissa would have heard him say that.
So, several things. First of all, as we look at these issues, my friends, we have to look at them as Rudyard Kipling said. He said, "I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where are and who." And we'll be talking with Nick Adams today about his book that he has recently written. And the title on it is Trump and Churchill, Defenders of Western Civilization. So that's going to be a very interesting conversation. So I thought, let's go to Winston Churchill for some quotes. So, Jason, tell me what you think about this quote.
Okay.
Winston Churchill. Okay. He was born in 1874, died in 1965. He was a British politician, army officer, and writer. And he was the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom from 1940 to 1945 when he led Great Britain to victory in the Second World War. And he says, "There is nothing government can give you that it hasn't taken from you in the first place." So, Jason McBride, what do you think about that?
I think that's a great quote. I think there was another one very similar that said, just remember, anything the government gives you, it has to first take away. And it's very similar, and it's true. And when people talk about the government spending their money, or they call it government money, well, the government doesn't have any money. All they can do is confiscate our money and then spend it in whatever way they see fit. And as they go into debt, well, eventually you would think that bill's going to have to be paid one way or the other. So I've always felt like when people use the moniker government money, they're talking about their own money and maybe should care a little bit more about it.
That is for sure. So again, that was the Winston Churchill quote. He said, there's nothing government can give you that it hasn't taken from you in the first place.
Right.
And our funnies, they're not that funny really, Steve, but are you ready?
Well, she cuts me off right before I can even say anything. Go ahead.
Well, Kim, at least you can get him to laugh before you say the funnies.
Oh, that's harsh. That's harsh. So here we go. Okay, three of them. When the state prevents you from buying cucumber seeds because it's too dangerous, but allows in-person lottery ticket sales, it's not about your health. When the state tells you it's too dangerous to go golf alone, fish alone, or be in a motorboat alone, but the governor can get her stage makeup done and hair done for 5 TV appearances a week, it's not about your health. And when the state puts you in a jail cell for walking in a park with your child because it's too dangerous, but lets criminals out of jail cells for their health, it's not about your health. So not too funny, but it is very poignant. So
I heard a comeback to that. The reason they're emptying the jail cells is to make room for those people who are, you know, opening up businesses prematurely and stuff like that. So who knows?
That's not that funny. So.
No, it's not funny at all.
You know, I'm thinking about Jen. I'm thinking about this hair salon owner, and also people that have stepped up and they're running for office. And you know, we had Renee Anderson and Andy Jones on the other day. They were running for the Highlands Ranch Metropolitan District Board, and good news, they and their other colleague Nancy Smith won. So that is some great news there, and just wanted to share that. The other thing is go to my website and check out these headlines for hope that Steve and I've been doing. They're 3-minute snippets. I've been telling the story of Jody Lander, World War II veteran, with in 3 of the major battles in World War II, D-Day, Operation Market Garden, and Battle of the Bulge. And it's just an amazing story. Yesterday we told the story of Harry. And Harry was a German Jew. He was born Hans Kahn. He came to America when he was 15. His father smuggled him out of Germany after Kristallnacht, which was in 1938, when the German soldiers and German citizens came in, some of the German citizens, and went into Jewish homes and took all of their china and their crystal, and they threw it in the street. And so there was china all over the streets, and they called it Kristallnacht. And at that point, Harry was smuggled out of the country. And then he was 15. At the age of 18, he joined the U.S. Army, became a paratrooper. And the story of just a very heroic night. Jody had said he was very concerned about how Harry might react under pressure. And one night when they were out on patrol, he showed just what kind of a man that he was. And it's a fabulous story. So with that, I wanted to share this quote or this clip from Ronald Reagan. And I've been to Pointe du Hoc in Normandy. I've been to the cemetery there in Normandy. And I just think this morning is so powerful when I think about this hair salon owner, when I think about Jen Hewlin and all these little businesses that we want to get opened up. So, Steve, if you play that, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such mark.
I tell you, we stand on the shoulders of giants. As many of you know, I've had the great honor to interview over 130 World War II veterans, as well as Korea, Vietnam, some of the younger guys. And we are at a time, my friends, we're at a time in our country when we're looking at what's happening to Jen Hewlin over at Water's Edge Winery or this salon owner in Texas, I would never dream that those would be the heroes that we are talking about. But this is the blood of the patriots run through our veins, and it is a time to stand for our country. Jason, we're going to go to break in just a minute. What's your thoughts?
Well, I agree. I saw some of the coverage of the gal down in Texas last night, and she, you know, was standing up for what her needs were, and they were showing the coverage. She was being very careful, taking people's temperatures as they came in. Everyone was wearing gloves and masks, so she was doing this in the safest way possible, and they still threw
in jail. And I'm not sure that I'm all jazzed up about having your temperature taken. And, you know, these masks, I was talking to somebody yesterday, is the ordinance here in Lone Tree, Colorado, is not that you have to wear a mask. It's just a face covering. They said in their fact sheet that it could just be a T-shirt over your face.
Right.
But somebody said the other day, they said it's also a symbol. All of us covered up is it's a symbol of sit down and shut up. And I'm frustrated with that.
I agree, Kim. And if I see one more like TV commercial or advertisement, you know, showing just normal people now with happily wearing a mask as if that's our new normal and it's a good thing, I'm gonna lose my mind. I just don't like seeing those images. I have no intention of going back to any new normal myself. I intend to go back to normal, and I hope the rest of our country will follow along.
Well, that is for sure. So we're going to go to break, Jason McBride. And before we do that, this has been really tough, this COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. It has been so hard on our small businesses, our restaurants, our bars, and our taverns. And I would highly recommend Hooters Restaurants. It's been a really super partner of mine, and they are offering to-go service. Go to order.hooters.com, and you can order your food. They'll drive up, curbside pickup. You can pick it up, and be sure and check that out. So that's order.hooters.com. We're going to go to break, and we'll be talking with Lindsay Miller. She is, let me make sure I have all that right here. Yes, Lindsay Miller. She's owner of the Perfect Fit Children's Footwear. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and be sure and check out my website. That is kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And you really should take a gander at these headlines for hope that we are doing. They're just little three-minute snippets. We've been telling the story of Jody Lander, World War II veteran. They are rich. I would highly recommend that you go over there and take a listen on that. I'm really excited to talk with Lindsay Miller. She is a small business owner, which that is the backbone of America. That is the engine of America, and they have been shut down for quite some time. And she's the owner of the Perfect Fit Children's Footwear in Parker. Lindsay Miller, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
So, first of all, congratulations for being a small business owner here in America, because you are the backbone of our country. And it's been really difficult with this Wuhan virus, COVID-19 reaction disruption. So tell us a little bit, first of all, about your business, Lindsay Miller.
Well, I own the Perfect Fit Children's Footwear in Parker, Colorado. We are a small business, one location. We are brick and mortar, old school sit and fit. So, you know, we help kids get shoes. I do not sell online. So, you know, with everything that's going on, obviously that's a huge part of my business, that people not being able to come into my store. But, you know, we help a lot of kids with special needs, with accommodative footwear, and we just kind of enjoy, you know, helping infant to youth seven make sure that they're covered and get what they need.
So what happened? Have you had to close down, or tell us a little bit about that?
So we did. We actually closed down shortly before the governor's orders in Colorado. So I want to say it was around March 20th. Because of social responsibility. We were getting a little bit of backlash from certain parents that were questioning why, you know, kids' stores were still open amongst the COVID-19. So we made the decision. And then we were shut down all the way through, you know, the end of April. We were just able to open our doors on May 1st with, you know, significant changes in how we do business. But it was a huge, you know, impact. I have six employees, including myself, and to tell everyone, hey, we're furloughed until further notice, you know, and a couple of them were full time. So obviously the responsibility on my shoulders there was, you know, quite a bit.
So what happened to your employees during this time? So you were shut down for probably what, about 6 weeks? Would that, am I doing the math right?
Yep, that is correct.
Okay, so what happened to your employees during that time?
So my part-time employees, thankfully, those that are teenagers, were, you know, obviously understanding and not in the same situation as adults. Those that were full-time, I tried to keep them on as long as possible. We kind of transitioned to, instead of doing in-store seeing customers, and with, you know, a product like shoes, obviously, I have to carry a lot of with me in order to go to somebody's house. But we started doing porch deliveries, and we went to the homes and we tried to sit on the porch, and I would do drop off. So I was going, you know, all over the Denver metro area during those few weeks just to keep those employees on my payroll. Because I feel a responsibility as a business owner, not only, you know, for myself, but to keep those people who depend on the pay that they get to stay alive.
Okay, so Lindsay, I think a lot of people that have been able to work from home or maybe on pensions or retired or whatever, they think that everybody just got a a 6 week vacation. And
yeah.
I think that there's people that have said that. So how's your 6 week vacation been?
It's horrible. I kind of joke that I don't think that I've ever gotten more gray hair or lost more hair in my life. You know, I see a lot of people that don't understand that small businesses may not have, you know, 2 or 3 months of savings in the bank, you know, to be able to close our doors. Because, you know, when the open sign goes off, you know, I'm still responsible for, you know, my employees, for my vendors, my insurance, my rent. You know, those things didn't stop and they won't stop. You know, I'm under contract and I'm obligated to do so. So I've run into a lot of people that say this has been a great vacation or a bonding time with our kids. And I don't think my son is going to come out thinking that. I think he's going to look back on this and say, I've never seen my mom so stressed, and he doesn't know why. And up until we happen to be granted the PPPL loan May 1st, you know, I didn't know if we were going to make it. You know,
so
it was very much survival.
So tell us about the PPP loan then. You did get it then, huh?
We were able to get it, and I'm not going to lie, I was shocked. I had kind of come to the decision that it wasn't going to happen. I was going to have to somehow come up with all of this on my own and try to recover the best I could. It does help. It's not going to dig us out of the hole that the last 6 months, you know, has gotten us in. But
6 weeks, yeah.
I applied on April the 6th. Just like a lot of people, found out the funding was out, you know, what, 24 or 48 hours after it launched from the Fed, and we waited. So the second wave of funding was really beneficial, and, you know, coming from the Trump administration and all the big businesses that gave back the funds that they should not have taken in the first place, it helped us. And I truly believe that that recognition of those businesses that should have never gotten it and gave it back. And the fact that they're realizing that this first round never actually went to the small business owners, you know, the people that support their families and their communities, that kind of changed the game for us. So we were very, very grateful, but I was never expecting it to come through.
So do you think that the fact that President Trump called out these big businesses made a difference, Lindsay?
I'm hoping. I would like to think that people still believe in doing the right thing, but obviously if they had enough capital and they pulled the loans anyways in excess of, you know, whether it be $20, $30, $100 million, I think it did. I think you realized that when you're looking at the first draft of funds and 1.6 million applications were only funded up against billions of dollars, then something was wrong. So I don't know whether it was his administration directly or, you know, the news media that called it out, but I, as a small business owner, and I know about 15 other small businesses in our area that were funded the second round, and I can't believe that's a coincidence.
So what do you think the future holds, Lindsay?
Pardon me. I don't know. So it will change forever how I do business. You know, in my industry, we do a lot of things. Like I pre-book inventory 10 to 12 months out. So a lot of the things that were slated to come in the spring inventory line in the apparel industry, you know, I couldn't get out of those contracts. You know, whether my doors were closed or not, I was still obligated to try to take them or take them later. But I think going forward, I won't be buying ahead as much. I will be, you know, waiting and buying in season and buying on demand because, you know, I kind of joke I got caught with my pants down, but I did. You know, I took an entire spring inventory that I physically had no ability to move. And it's not as easy as setting up, you know, online sales. It kind of goes against my direct business plan because I am a brick and mortar in-person customer service-based business. It'll probably take us a year to dig out from this, and hopefully we'll be able to. And everyone's talking about surge number two, and I'm not going to lie, as a small business owner, that scares me to death. I don't know if we would be able to recover coming back out of being shut down again for another month or two.
So, and a little bit more about your business. It sounds like it's very specialized, that kids many times may have, you know, special fitting needs with their shoes. It sounds like that's something that you help people with. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it may not be a necessity in the terms of, you know, a grocery store, but, you know, parents bring their kids in, you know, we actually measure their feet. We try on shoes. We make sure, you know, it's proper. We take the guesswork out. You know, we work with a lot of, you know, PTs and OTs and, you know, children's hospital group, you know, to help when kids have medical braces and, you know, inserts and things like that. Because those parents don't have the ability to know what's going to fit over a large plastic metal brace. And, you know, just regular kids who want good fitting shoes or parents who kind of grew up in the era of this is what I grew up doing. And So that's what I do. And I'm not set up for online sales. I believe in customer service and I believe it's not dead. So, and I've formed my entire business on it, and the public and our community, they're the reason that in 3 years I've been able to do what I've done, and eternally grateful for all of those who have made sure throughout all this that we are going to be around to get out of this COVID-19.
Okay, so now you are open. What's your hours? Where can people find you?
So I'm located in Parker. We are open 7 days a week, so Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Okay, and you're located where?
So off Plaza and Progress in Parker, Colorado, and our website is Kids Footwear, and it's KIDZ footwear.com.
Kids Footwear, that's with a Z, so KIDZ footwear.com. Okay. Lindsay Miller, well, congratulations. I feel that we are moving through this. You are truly a hero. Small businesses are the backbone of America, so thank you so much.
And thank you for the chance to speak to you.
Okay. You have a great day. And Jason McBride, we got to talk with you in the first segment a bit here, but What about the market? What's happening in the market right now?
Well, Kim, I'll tell you, it looks like we might have another fairly strong opening. Yesterday, we started strong and then faded a little bit at the close again. The S&P was down a little bit yesterday, but the NASDAQ stayed positive. Volume was lower on the pullback, which is what we like to see.
Yeah, you like to always, see that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good clue. I mean, if we have good volume on the up days and less on the down days, that's showing that the big boys are, you know, they're accumulating shares rather than selling them. This morning, it looks like we're going to have a strong opening. The futures are up about 300 points right now. We've gotten earnings reports from a lot of companies that have actually still been strong, even with the disruption that we had in the first quarter, and that's helping to push the indexes higher. And one thing that's also, I think, comforting, Kim, is some of the leading stocks, newer companies that are showing high growth with new innovative ideas, though those are the ones that are kind of leading the charge here. It's not beaten down companies that are out of favor, that are just kind of sitting and maintaining. It's the innovators, the growth companies that are, you know, moving to the front of the pack again. And that's generally what you want to see in a good market rally, is those type of companies at the front of the pack.
Okay, well, that's good to know. And Jason, I just wanted to mention, you know, I beat up on Tesla quite a bit and Elon Musk because of all of the government money that they took, billions of dollars for Tesla. But interestingly enough, in Business Insider just recently, Elon Musk, I can't do all the expletives there, but he says, give people back their freedom. And he bashes the U.S. shelter-in-place orders as fascists and says they're forcibly imprisoning people in their homes. And I'm a little surprised, but I totally agree with Elon Musk on all of this. You have a quick comment about that?
You know, Elon Musk has been making comments, you know, I think for at least the last year to year and a half that made me kind of like the guy. I mean, he seems to lean more towards the ideas of freedom, conservatism, if you want to call it, than he does towards the other side. And I've always felt like, yeah, he makes electric cars, which may or may not be better for the environment. But, you know, I've never heard him be preachy or finger-pointing and kind of saying, well, if you don't buy one of my cars, you're a bad person. So, you know, I admit it. I've kind of been a closet Elon Musk admirer despite, you know, the money that he did get from the government. I think his brain, although sometimes a little scrambled, is in the right place.
Okay, well, there you have it. So I did not know that about you, Jason McBride. So thanks so much.
I came out of the closet today.
Yes, you did. So thanks so much, Jason. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And people can reach you at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600, you and all the folks over at Presidential Wealth Management. So thanks so much. Have a great day.
You have a great show, Kim.
Thank you. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Nick Adams, and he's a good acquaintance of mine, and he has written a recent book, and it is called Trump and Churchill, Defenders of Western Civilization, and you won't want to miss this as we look at these two heroes. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
Water's Edge Winery and Bistro is celebrating 5 years in business and is now open Tuesday through Sunday, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Located near the northwest corner of Arapahoe and University, they are offering to-go food and wine to keep you fed and happy. Call 720-381-6663 to place our curbside to-go order, or stop in and grab your bottles and lunch or dinner. That's 720-381-6663, or follow Water's Edge Winery and Bistro Centennial on Facebook or Instagram for updates and specials.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. All kinds of great information there. We've got our new podcast, Sounding Off with Kim Munson. I will be recording one a little bit later this morning with Jen Hewlin over at Water's Edge Winery. You know her. She is our hero who is opening up her business. Even though politicians, bureaucrats want to control all that. So you'll want to hear that podcast. That's Sounding Off with Kim Munson, as well as our Headlines for Hope, where we've been telling the story of World War II veteran Jody Lander. He was in three of the major battles. He was at D-Day, as well as Operation Market Garden and Battle of the Bulge. I am so excited to have on the line with me Nick Adams. He was born in Australia, but he loves the American idea. He's written a book, Trump and Churchill, Defenders of Western Civilization. Nick Adams, welcome to the show.
Hello, Kim Munson. It's a pleasure to join you and your listeners.
Well, and you've written this book. This has just recently come out. So tell us a little bit about the book to begin with.
Well, Trump and Churchill, Defenders of Western Civilization is my new book. Newt Gingrich wrote the foreword. It's a look at the two men, Donald Trump and Winston Churchill, the enemies they faced, Kim, and their strategy in defeating those enemies. Now, both men, historic, unique, consequential. Churchill's fight was on the outside. Donald Trump's fight was on the inside. Donald Trump is conquering the swamp, where Winston Churchill conquered the Axis powers. Now, on the surface, Kim, when you have a look, you wouldn't really think that Donald Trump and Winston Churchill had all that much in common. One was a 5'6" guy that loved to drink. The other is this 6'3" guy that is a teetotaler. One, of course, began their career by opposing tariffs, the other by introducing them. One liked to nap every afternoon, the other barely sleeps. But as soon as you drill a little bit deeper, you find that they're very similar people, both very confident, love their country, both intensely disliked, even hated, both alpha males, both clear thinkers and plain speakers. Both of them endured battles with the political establishment and the media in their country. Both of them followed very weak predecessors. Churchill, Kim, of course, had Neville Chamberlain, and Donald Trump had Barack Obama. So there are unbelievable parallels I discovered between Donald Trump and Winston Churchill, the men and the times that they found themselves in whilst leading.
So you had mentioned in the book that one of the things that they have in common is this optimism. And of course, there's been those in the media that have gone after Donald Trump for being optimistic during this COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. And it's just really part of his personality, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And both men very believe in the power of positive thinking. Kim, when I was 8 years old, I was given my dad gave me speeches by Winston Churchill. And I remember being struck by just how sunny this guy's disposition was. You know, you're in the middle of the Second World War, and yet you're so optimistic, you're speaking so confidently, is really incredible. And I read The Art of the Deal when I was a teenager, and I was also struck by just how much Donald Trump believes in the power of positive thinking, how natively and naturally optimistic he is as a person. And these men understand that in dark times, people like to be reminded of sunnier times, both in the past and for the future. And that's what Donald Trump does. So when New York Mayor Bill de Blasio comes out and accuses him of peddling false optimism during this battle with the invisible enemy, he's just plain wrong. This is who the president is, and this is what the American people need to hear. And both of them go with their gut instincts, Churchill and Trump, and if their gut tells them that they can be victorious, they're going to believe that, and they're going to try and convince their people of that as well.
So did Churchill have internal enemies like Donald Trump does?
Of course, absolutely, Kimmy. Most certainly did. He was reviled by all the elites in the media, the elites in his own party, the elites in the government. You know, in Trump and Churchill, Defenders of Western Civilization, I've gone back to British national newspapers from the mid to late 1930s, early 1940s, and I've put excerpts from those newspapers in the book. And I tell you, Kim, if I didn't say to you, Kim Watson, this is about Winston Churchill from British national newspapers 70, 80 years ago, you wouldn't believe me. You would think, sight unseen, that those excerpts, that those passages were about Donald Trump and they were in the New York Times or Washington Post. So identical is the criticism. So similar are the accusations that are leveled, that they don't have any judgment, that they're not serious enough, that they don't listen to anybody around them, that they go and run the show themselves, that they don't have the right temperament, that they don't have the right decorum. I mean, it's literally a repeat of exactly what Churchill had to go through. And he was hated by many. He was hated for his success. He was hated for his boldness. He was hated for the fact that he was prepared to take a risk. He was hated for the fact that he had such relatability to the people. You know, he was a guy that liked to eat too much, drink too much, sleep too much. But he was real. I mean, I think all of us would like to eat, drink, and sleep too much on occasion.
So let's talk a little bit about, I think with Donald Trump, I think that he has a real love for everyday people. And so I find it interesting. He's tough as nails with the elites, but yet I think that he has this care for the American people. In that movie, now I can't remember the Churchill movie.
Hour.
Yeah, The Darkest Hour. Do you remember the train scene? So I think that there's a direct correlation between the two men there, because it seemed to me that Churchill had this great love for the British people.
Without a doubt, he most certainly did. It was middle-class Britons that he appealed to. And like I say, they saw him as somebody that, yes, was different, but also that they could relate to, that he was real. You know, he had a slight lisp. He was a guy that had failed many times, but he was a warrior. He was a bulldog, and he had their best interests at heart. He wanted England to win. He wanted the Nazis to be defeated. The moral clarity of Winston Churchill, and I think it's something that doesn't get spoken often enough about with respect to Donald Trump, both men, I think, had and have this incredible moral clarity. You know, they know what is right and what is wrong. They know what is good and what is evil. And it's based around their patriotism. It's based around their love of their country and their people. And they'll stop at nothing to win. for their country and their people. And that's something that's really refreshing and really appealing, Kim.
Okay, moral clarity. What does that mean exactly? Because they're not perfect men, but yet how is it that imperfect men have moral clarity, Nick Adams?
Well, I'm not talking about moral clarity necessarily in their personal lives. I mean, you know, great men often are tempted by nature and other things that happen. So I'm talking about a moral clarity in the sense of the world, in the sense of there being an evil enemy and wanting to do something about it. So, you know, Donald Trump is very clear-eyed when he sees China. He knows what China is about. He knows that China's ultimate goal is to replace America. He knows that China will do anything to injure the United States or lift themselves up in the process. So he has clarity to that threat. And so in the same way, Winston Churchill, everyone was kind of, you know, into this appeasement and into this, hey, Hitler, we've got to be careful and, you know, all of this kind of stuff. Whereas Winston Churchill said, no. He said, this guy's a maniac. This guy wants to take over not just Europe, but the whole world. This guy is the worst person to ever be born in the history of the world. And I'm going to stop him. So they're clear-eyed and they have this unbelievable clarity toward threats and issues that could impact their country or their people. What they do in their personal lives, whether they like women too much or whatever, I mean, that's just by the by.
Okay, so Nick Adams, I want to continue on with talking about the two men, and we're going to go to break. When we come back, Steve is going to mention something about Churchill's humor, and so I'd like you to talk about the humor of both men as well. So this is Kim Munson. I am talking with Nick Adams, and he is a internationally renowned speaker, lecturer, and commentator, a best-selling author, and he runs the Foundation for Liberty and American Greatness. That's FLAG. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue with Nick Adams.
Predovich and Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich and Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich and Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich and Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich and Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, KimMunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. And go over to Facebook, give us a like there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Sign up for our weekly newsletter, a lot of great information. I've got on the line with me Nick Adams. He loves the American idea. He's an author, and he runs the Foundation for Liberty and American Greatness. Before we get into more of the conversation, tell our listeners a little bit about FLAG, Nick Adams.
Flag is the Foundation for Liberty and American Greatness. Kim Monson is a 501c3 educational organization that is all about two things. Number one, teaching civics, and number two, putting patriotism back in public schools. We do it three ways. Number one, through the classroom visits. Number two, through the creation and distribution of kid-friendly resources relating to the founding documents. And number three, through professional development training for teachers, where we teach teachers how to teach civics the way that it used to be taught.
Fantastic. And again, how can people get to that website? What's that website?
FlagUSA.org. That's FlagUSA.org.
Okay. Now, I wanted to continue on, and producer Steve's going to jump in here because he had mentioned a story about Churchill to me, which wanted to get your reaction to that, and then also to Donald Trump's sense of humor. So, Steve, what's that story that you had?
Well, every time I hear the name Churchill, my mind goes to this instantaneously. I guess it was a world history teacher in high school was the first one to put this out in front of me, and yet I was just old enough to really get an appreciation of this. To me, British humor has always been the pinnacle of humor, no matter what form it is. Apparently, some woman cornered him amongst other people so she could be loud and get in his face. And she said, "If I were your wife, I'd put poison in your tea." And he didn't skip a beat. He just looked at her and said, "Well, madam, if I were your husband, I'd drink it."
Yeah, that was Lady Astor. It's a great anecdote, Steve, and I'm with you. I think about it often. It's a withering takedown, I think what they might call today a mic drop. He was known to be very quick. He could injure with words. His wit was unparalleled. And on the House of Commons floor, he was even more devastating to his opponents. But he did have a great sense of humour. He was a craftsman with his words. I mean, that was the English language was his craft, and he was he had such a command of the English language. He was able to use it to inspire, to injure, to revitalize. It's quite remarkable.
Okay, so then let's talk about Donald Trump. There are times where I'm like, I cannot believe he just said that, or I cannot believe that he just tweeted that. And I can see some humor in that. And even in those press releases that he's had with regarding the COVID-19 thing, and the way he goes after the press when they're asking a dumb question, he'll say that. I mean, I find the guy underlying very funny.
I think he is funny. I think he's hilarious. I mean, and it doesn't necessarily have to be what he says. It's also what he does in terms of the trolling, in terms of the, saying what everybody is thinking, shares on or retweets on Twitter is really interesting. He recently went and put up a little advertisement that somebody had come up with of a group of African-American men sitting around with Barack Obama as one of the men watching a game of basketball, I think it was. Might have been football, I don't remember. But anyway, and then the game goes to commercial, and the commercial is for Joe Biden. It's a political advertisement. Joe Biden, and they all kind of look at Barack Obama, his friends look at him and say, "Dude, why are you supporting this guy?" Anyway, it's a very funny thing, and it shows you that he's not afraid. He's not afraid at all to go into areas that people might consider to be, not areas where one should kind of venture into. So Donald Trump is an enormously funny person, I think.
Okay. Now, next thing, Hitler, I mean, it was just astonishing, what was happening in Europe. and he was overrun. He had overrun the continent and was going after Britain. Of course, Neville Chamberlain wanted to capitulate and, you know, work with the guy, and Churchill said no. And, you know, the Battle of Britain, I mean, London was decimated. And if Churchill had not stood, the world would be very different today, right?
Oh, absolutely, Kim, without a doubt. If Churchill had not made his stand, and of course all the things that flowed on from him making that stand, the Americans ultimately getting involved and everything else, I'd be speaking Japanese and eating sushi as an Australian. I mean, that's the reality. You might be speaking German. So Churchill's stand was incredibly courageous. It was against all odds. You're right. The people around him, the other people in leadership, his predecessors, they didn't want to make that stand. They thought that that stand was too bold, that it was too risky, that it was too dangerous. But he made that stand, and thank God that he did, because if he didn't, then the world as we know it, civilization as we know it, would not be the way that it is. And I can tell you now, with Donald Trump in this particular time, we have to be really careful as well, because if the people within America that don't want America to be America, they want America to be like a European country, they don't want Donald Trump's agenda to succeed, if they get their way, Kim, then again we have a massive wholesale threat to our lives the way that we know it. Because a weak America means a strong China, means an emboldened Iran, means a confident North Korea, and all of the bad actors are going to all of a sudden have a spring in their step. So we need to be really careful.
Okay, so we have just a few minutes left, Nick Adams. So this whole COVID-19 coronavirus, I mean, it in some ways it looks like, I mean, I hate to say that America's on our heels, but we're in a very dangerous time. And if it wasn't for Donald Trump, I don't know where we would be. But what do you see as we're moving through this? What's the future?
Look, I'm very sanguine about America returning to normal. I don't believe in this new normal. I mean, I think that, of course, there are going to be copious cleanings of hands, of equipment at gyms. People will probably stay a little bit further away when they're waiting in line from others. But I don't really think, I don't believe in this idea that we eventually are not going to go back to what we've always done. You know, there's this talk about handshakes are going to be a thing of the past, and people won't hug, friends won't hug each other anymore. And I don't see all of that, and I really hope that that isn't the case. I think the president's done an outstanding job. One of the things that he and Churchill, again, have very much in common is that Churchill always ultimately ended up being proved right. He would come out and make an assertion, take an action, would be absolutely hammered for saying or doing it. And then ultimately, with the passage of time, people would say, okay, yeah, he was right. Thank God he did that. And it's the same with Donald Trump and his fight with COVID-19. Now, he banned travel to China, got hammered for it. It ended up being a massive lifesaver to America and the people. He was right about the number of ventilators, Kim. He was right about the numbers receding as soon as the warmer weather would come. He was right about hydroxychloroquine. So again and again and again, he's always ended up being proved right. And I'm very thankful that we have a leader who is prescient like that, who does have a great barometer for these things, who does take decisive action, and is fearless, because that's while being optimistic, because that's exactly the recipe. That's precisely the combination that we need right now to defeat this invisible enemy, which, by the way, is a very Churchillian turn of phrase that Trump decided to badge COVID-19 with.
Okay, well, Nick Adams, thank you so much. And be sure and check out flagusa.org. That's flagusa.org. It stands for Foundation for Liberty and American Greatness, and highly recommend picking up Nick Adams, your book, Trump and Churchill, Defenders of Western Civilization. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, Kim Monson.
Have a great day. And our quote for today is a Winston Churchill quote. He says, fear is a reaction. Courage is a decision. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Monson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.